This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Houston, it's our time now. With the 34th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Jaden Higgins, wide receiver, Iowa State.
There you go. Good job, OD. Good job, Owen Daniels.
Boy, he looked smooth, did he not?
He came out. Now, was I taking crazy pills on Friday night or hallucinogenics? Did he come out in one outfit to announce the second round pick and then come out later in a different outfit to announce one of the third rounders? I think he did.
I saw the first two picks. I didn't see him do Jalen Smith.
He did Jalen Smith, and it looked like I know he did the Jaden Higgins. By the way, welcome in everybody on a Monday post draft. He had like on a maroon colored sport coat to announce Jaden Higgins.
Fuchsia. I think it was fuchsia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuchsia.
Come on, Sean.
It was a variation of red, and then but then he came out. He announced Jalen Smith too, and he had on. I'm like, is that a different colored sport coat he's got? It's the same day, right? Like it's still Friday. Anyway,
he knows Nick. He knows that Nick, for one, started off with 5 picks on that night.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knew that it probably wasn't going to remain at 5 picks.
Yep.
It ended up being 3 picks.
Four picks.
Yeah. So, he was ready for the occasion. I guess,
but like changing outfits, that's like a Reba McIntyre kind of stuff. Like, look
at
you.
I've got my
showman. Yeah, what do you got there in your hands?
I've got my cheat sheet of all the draft picks, and I've got all the Jalen's and Jaden's highlighted.
Yeah.
So I can be sure that I get it straight.
Okay.
So I was looking at my highlights. So I'm like, 3 picks. Ariante is going to be the name that I have the least struggles with in this entire draft.
That's the big irony. I know. Ariante, and you got Tay to lean on too. They call him Tay, so you can always lean on.
I'm not going to do that until I know him.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't feel like I'm on a Tay basis with him.
Little respect.
So Jaden Higgins, first pick, and I thought the biggest thing immediately that I felt was. Because I forget that we haven't done a show since all of this stuff happened.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So Jaden Higgins is picked. Immediately, I think what most Texans fans who are dialed in thought was, okay, that must be the guy that Nick was talking about when he said that one of the players that they thought was worth taking at 25 was still on the board.
Yeah.
I don't think that the linebacker that the Browns took was probably going to be a guy the Texans were going to select. Maybe he was.
Get out of UCLA. He's a good player. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jaden Higgins is going to be the biggest takeaway from Friday, if we're just to recap Friday, was, all right, the first 3 picks, you go out and you get offensive players to help C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 positions that we had really zeroed in on is wide receiver, offensive line, and they get both of those guys. And then I think the picks after that, that immediately after, including on Saturday, that people were most, I guess, skeptical about was Jalen Smith, the cornerback out of USC, and then Woody Marks, the running back out of USC, simply because both those guys went higher than a lot of draft boards had them listed at, a lot of draft prospects.
I'd throw Graham Mertz, the quarterback, in there as well.
Okay, that's right. 100%. That's one of the – okay. I put that in a whole separate category.
Yeah, I figured you
did. It wasn't as much about draft position as – wait a second. You traded up for a quarterback?
And for Graham Mertz is my thing. Yeah. I probably lost money on a Graham Mertz game once or twice, which is why I feel the way I do. But stick with Jalen Smith and Woody Marks. That's where you were going with this thing. So.
Yeah. I guess from the more high-profile guys, and they play skill positions, Jalen Smith was an interesting one. And the biggest thing about him, that I'm intrigued by is that he almost seems like a different version of Jalen Petrie, potentially, where Jalen Petrie is a safety who's a lot like a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jalen Smith can be a Jalen Petrie who's more like an actual defensive back or a cornerback, because he is a cornerback. So, but he does really well when he blitzes up at the line of scrimmage. Most of his highlights are actually tackles behind the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. more so than in coverage.
Yep.
And I just wonder if they foresee kind of a, you know, obviously he's a third round pick. It's not like they're going to, you know, change the defense for him or anything.
No.
But if they, I wonder if they see a little bit more of a versatile role for him, and maybe a guy that, because he's better at press coverage than a lot of other things, maybe at times when they need a guy down in the slot that can blitz but can also cover a receiver one-on-one, he can develop into somebody like that who's a little bit more like a cornerback than Jalen Petrie.
They need depth at corner. I had no problem with that pick, and I know people had a day three grade on him, and they trade up to get him in the third round. Whatever. Like, their evaluation may be different. That's a position that this just in, they've evaluated really, really well at that position, and they need depth. They, you know, they had 2-3 games last year where they, you know, they're missing Kamari Lassiter, so they got D'Angelo Ross out there at the other corner. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think this was the fact that they've drafted well at cornerback.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of people, a lot of draft writers and whatnot, say, well, I had him lower on my board, but Caserio's done a pretty damn good job scouting defensive backs these last few years.
Yes.
And the Texans as a team have done a really good job developing defensive backs.
Yeah.
So the defensive backfield coaches get a lot of respect for that, Dino Vasso and Unklin there. But that part I have leeway there. I think offensive line is still unanswered in terms of Caserio getting good offensive linemen.
Yes, yes.
So when you trade up for Ursary, Tate Ratledge, the guard, is still on the board mm-hmm. there at that point. He ends up going to the Lions.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the scrutiny is
going to
be.
Yeah, he ends up going to the Lions, who have drafted very well and built a really good offensive line.
You look at the Lions, and man, they know offensive linemen, and they know how to coach them up.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take Ursary, who was the next offensive tackle on a lot of boards. I like Ursary. I think the second round is perfect for him. There's certain things that kept him from being a first-round type guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might have been more the best example of the Texans not drafting for immediate need.
Yep.
That they might have – maybe they stood pat and would have been fine seeing where Tate Ratledge was when they drafted. They went up and got Ursary because they like Ursary.
They like him a lot, yeah. I think the other thing, too, with Jalen Smith and Jalen Noel, if you're just waking up, Seth and I are kind of digging into the draft class. This is our first chance on the show to dig into any of the picks because they had no picks on Thursday night. Jalen Noel can return. Jalen Smith can run down on special teams. I think that's a factor in here as well with those guys. And I say that because when I got to the stadium on Saturday, Seth, to do day three, and I'm walking through kind of the bowels of the stadium there to go down to the studio where we do the draft show down there, in the, you know, kind of off of the media room, we ran into Frank Ross walking mm-hmm. through the concourse there and was like, "Hey, coach, what's going on?" And he was, I don't think I'm violating any confidences here, he was effusive that they got some special teams juice on day two. He's like, "I got a return guy. I got a guy that can run down." He was really excited about both of those guys.
No, Jalen Smith, when you think about guys that D'Amico might like and maybe where the Texans may have had him rated higher than other teams or whatever, this kid just, he plays his responsibilities and his roles. He's lacking in a lot of the measurables, which is why he was down where he was. But going back to Caserio drafting guys, hey, Kamari Lassiter was lacking in a lot of measurables, but he played on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Jalen Smith, he played really well in the slot. He held quarterbacks to a sub-60 passer rating, 0.6 yards per pass attempt against him. And I think he plays above his measurables. But then when he's playing against the run or coming up to cover in the flats, you can tell that he's got a real good feel for what his responsibilities are, what leverage he's supposed to take. A lot of the stuff that with young defensive backs especially, you have a hard time coaching. I could see D'Amico really liking just some of the discipline with which
he plays. And he was asked, too, at the very end of his press conference, and we'll get to some of this audio in 7 o'clock when we get to know the draft class. D'Amico was asked at the end of this press conference on Saturday. I apologize to whoever asked the question. I forget who asked it. But it might have been Sarge. Was there anybody whose personality stood out to you of the guys you drafted? And Jalen Smith was the guy he brought up. So I could see that being another area where the comparison to Jalen Petrie holds up, which is, you know, the guy's got an energy about him. That energy will move you up the board for the Texans, I think. Positive football love and energy will move you up their board, I think.
The other guy that won't get a whole lot of discussion or written about until maybe he starts showing up, but Jalen Reed, the sixth round safety that they took. I had it written down somewhere. He's got like four unsportsman likes and a couple unnecessary roughnesses
fit right
or
in.
Something.
Yes. Oh my God, hand in glove.
I can't remember what the exact number was, but he's got a body count.
Dude, Kalen Bullock and C.J. Gardner-Johnson better have their head on a swivel during camp. He's coming for a starting role with this team. He also, I saw some clips from the combine with Jalen Reed back in February, and he had a lot of good things to say about the Texans. In his meetings with them, like he went out of his way to talk about how much he enjoyed the interviews with the Texans. So now he's here, sixth round pick. I like that pick. Overall, this draft class is getting, by and large, Seth, pretty good grades from the people who we know how much Nick Caserio hates the draft grades, but also its content. So
I can't wait to bring him up to him.
Yes, we talked to him. So what did you think? You average out about a B- for the. Actually, it's averaging. You know, I'm looking, Kuiper gave it a B+. Chad Reuter, notoriously easy grader, gave it an A-.
Yeah.
Which is probably the equivalent of like a C+ for anybody else.
Yeah, his curve is way out of whack. He's your high school teacher who's stoned all the time.
Yeah. Like, they're averaging out at around a B or a B+ for this class, which when you don't have a first-round pick, I feel like just perception-wise, there's a ceiling on what these graders give you. You know what I mean?
Well, there is a ceiling, but then also they did have a bunch of picks, so they come out of the draft with 9 players.
Yeah.
And that bumps you up a little bit because there's going to be somebody that they like in there. I think a couple people docked him for reaching on a couple players in their eyes. Prisco had the most negative one.
He had C+, yeah.
Prisco's a hater.
He's a hater. I guess
hater from back in the day, one of the first writers I ever knew in the NFL.
In Jacksonville, yeah. I guess the biggest question, and we'll dig into this as the day goes on. We have way more than 4 hours worth of material today, for sure, because we got the actual rest of the draft and the Rockets and the Astros to dig into here. I guess the biggest question people have is, Seth, like, okay, is this it on the offensive line? Like, you know, people like, I think you and I, who are preaching patience with, like, well, let's see what it looks like after the draft before we go, this plan is not working for us. I guess that there's only one lineman in this draft class maybe gives people who've been critical some ammunition. Where are you on that? Like, where they are with the offensive line?
I'm in that same uncomfortable spot where I think a lot of the improvement on the offensive line simply has to come from Cole Popovich and Nick Caley.
Big bet,
the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator. And that's not comfortable, and that doesn't assuage anything until you get there. I would have been a lot more excited if they picked up one of those first-round interior offensive linemen.
Yeah.
That they looked very much like they were waiting for because they traded as soon as Donovan Jackson wasn't going to be available.
Yep.
So I would have felt better about it. I think that there's still time for them to either trade for somebody or pick up a guy in training camp that's a cut, that's a veteran. But a lot of it is just going to have to be, is this a better coached football team?
Yeah.
They fired the offensive coordinator for a reason.
Yep, and the O-line coach too.
I think Ursary, I could go a million different ways with. I know a lot of people are asking whether he can play guard or not. I'm skeptical just because he's a guy that doesn't play. He's a really tall guy, and he doesn't play with good knee bend, and he's huge. So, like, when I look at Blake Fisher, I think, okay, you got to teach him to play with better knee bend and everything, and he's a little bit more lithe than an athlete. You can get away with being kind of a stiff-legged offensive tackle when you're massive. Mm-hmm. You just got to learn how to use all your weight and heft and everything. Yeah. But I think it's a lot harder to teach somebody like that that's stiff-legged to go down and play guard.
All right, we're off and running on a Monday. It is a reaction Monday. We got the whole draft to react to here. We will circle to the biggest story from the draft over the weekend, certainly on day three, Shedeur Sanders going in the fifth round in the Rockets. Boy, this was bad on Saturday night, man. What a missed opportunity from this team on Saturday night, and now they put themselves squarely behind the eight ball tonight. We'll dig into Rockets Warriors as well.